Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my week 20 and 21 recap, which will include March Madness, guys. I'll talk about the men's brackets as well as the women's brackets. And also in the NBA, I'll give you my players for the week for both week 20 and 21. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And this episode, guys, gonna do like a week 20 and week 21 recap. Wanted to get to you last week, but as I usually say, life was life and a lot was going on. So gonna try and do these couple of episodes here. And yeah, so it'll probably be a two-parter. So let us not delay any further. Let's get right into it. And we're going to start with March Madness, guys. The men's and the women's bracket. I will start with the men's. Right now, we're at the Sweet 16. And guys, the way it turned out, you have all four number ones still alive. You have all four number twos alive. Then from there, you got a couple of threes, a couple of fours, you got a six, a five, and you got as low as a 11 seed. And the men's side, I must admit, I didn't watch all that many. I caught a couple. I caught some of the North Carolina-Michigan game. I was interested in that one. I peeked in on Purdue just slaying Utah State. But all in all, guys, I really haven't been watching because I've been all enthralled with the women's tournament. I mean, you had some exciting games, guys. You had some thrillers. You had an overtime. You had a double overtime. So you had a few of them that was kind of down to the wire. Actually, you had a few overtimes there. But nonetheless, your top seed overall, UConn, taking care of business in both rounds. Now they face, actually, a team they faced in the finals last season, and that's San Diego State. So they're facing them in the Sweet 16. So that should be an intriguing matchup there. And then also within that East region, you have Iowa State going up against Illinois. Then in the South region, your number one seed, Houston, they'll be facing the Dukies in that one. And then on the other side of that bracket, North Carolina State, the 11 seed guys, they got there by beating a number six in Texas Tech, and then actually a 14 seed because Kentucky got knocked out in the first round. Surprisingly enough, that was one of the big upsets in that first round. So North Carolina State, they're in the Sweet 16. And then they'll be facing Marquette, who's the two seed. Then we look at the Midwest. Purdue, number one seed there, handily taking care of both of their opponents leading up to the Sweet 16. And they'll face Gonzaga. Gonzaga, the five seed. They managed to beat McNeese State and then Kansas to make it to the Sweet 16. And then on the other side of that bracket, you have Creighton, the three seed, facing Tennessee, the two seed. And what should be a good matchup right there. Creighton coming off of that double overtime win over Oregon. And then in your West bracket, North Carolina, the number one seed there. They took care of business in their two games, including the one I watched, Michigan State. Michigan State gave them a run, but early on. But North Carolina, they stepped on the gas and took care of business. They'll face Alabama, a team last year got all the way to the Final Four. So they'll face them in the Sweet 16. And then on the other side of that bracket, Clemson, the 6th seed, taking on the 2 seed Arizona. But to be honest, there were some upsets amongst the men. I talked about Kentucky being one of them. And also a 12 seed Grand Canyon knocking off the 5 seed St. Mary. Yale actually knocked off a 4 seed in Auburn. Oh, and also James Madison knocking off Wisconsin. That was a 5 seed. So pretty much going according to plan. I think I saw that there were only 57 brackets that were alive thus far, which when you look at the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot. And then the women's, I think you got even less. But it looks like UConn, if they can take care of business in their region, I see them reaching the Final Four. I think it's a Final Four where you could possibly get all 4-1 seeds. That's how good those teams on the top are. We'll see how it goes. I love how Purdue's playing. Zach Edey is playing out of his mind, and that team in general. Houston, they've been taking care of business as well. You got Kreider over there. Also, Jamal Sheed and Emmanuel Sharp. Houston, they look good. They look good as well. And then North Carolina, of course, you got to start with R.J. Davis. And then Armando Bacot, their big man over there. And for UConn, leading the way is Tristan Newton for them, the senior guard over there, as well as Cam Spencer, also in the backcourt there for the UConn Huskies. So the men's side, I will start paying a little closer attention now that they're in the Sweet 16. So I'll definitely be taking a glance at those games, that's for sure. And then we'll talk about the women, guys. The women's tournament has been as good as advertised, to be honest with you. Right now, you have all 4 number one seeds that's alive. You have 3 number two seeds. You have 4 threes still alive, a couple of fours, and then a couple of fives. So nothing lower than a 7 seed. You know, you'll get some people saying, oh, but for the women, there's not that many upsets. You know, I attribute that to the fact that the committee actually does its job and picks the right seeds. The 4 number one seeds here, you can't really argue too much against them. All 4 of them won their respective conferences. Mind you, there's one region that's a killer region, but nonetheless, overall, they get it right. On the men's side, it seemed like they got the top seeds right. It was the lower seeds where there was kind of an issue in that regard. But the women's game is popping right now. And what I attribute it to is the fact that these women, you don't have where they can declare early. They play their 4 years. They go to the WNBA. So you have continuity for the most part outside of the transfer portal being kind of a fly in the ointment, so to speak. But that's why the women's game is popping right now. On the men's side, you got a lot of one and dones, maybe a 2 years and done guy. And it's just a lot of turnover. Then you have the transfer portal for the men, which is kind of a similar situation, if not worse than the women's. So that kind of opens the door for your upsets when those happen in the men's game. The fact that you have like a blue blood that, you know, is kind of a revolving door in terms of the kids coming in, declaring early, and going to the NBA, whereas in the women's game, you know, they stay at the school for the most part for the duration of their time, unless, you know, you have somebody that's disgruntled, maybe somebody in a kind of mid-major who wants to transfer over to a big-name school. You have those situations. But for the most part, you have a symmetry there amongst the teams. So with that said, let me talk about the bracket itself. Of course, like I said, your number one seeds, South Carolina, Iowa, Texas, and USC, still alive. And South Carolina, they'll be heading to Albany. In fact, you have the Albany 1 region, Albany 2 region. I'll talk about the Albany 2 in a minute. So they'll face Indiana squad that's, for the most part, they've had to beat Fairfield in the first round and then Oklahoma in the second round. They had the luxury of playing in Bloomington, Indiana, so that certainly helps matters. So they'll face South Carolina up there in Albany. And on the other side of that bracket, you have the 2 and the 3 seed, Notre Dame, facing off against Oregon State. Notre Dame, we know, have Hannah Hidalgo, and she's the fine freshman over there. Probably going to get heavy consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. In fact, I see a scenario where she's on the all-defensive team amongst the women. So you have a possible collision of South Carolina taking on Notre Dame if they're able to take care of business. And then we know that both of those teams squared off against each other over there in Paris. So it will be great to see Dawn Staley going up against the highly respected Neil Ivy over there for Notre Dame. If form holds, that should be a pretty good matchup. And then on the other side, Albany 2, brutal region, guys. You have Iowa. They were able to take care of business, guys. They beat Holy Cross, and then they came and played a tough game against West Virginia, but was able to pull it out. Of course, led by their Mercurial star, Caitlin Clark. They draw number 5 seed, Colorado, a team that they've faced before. In fact, last year in the tournament, it was Iowa who knocked out Colorado. So Colorado can exact a little revenge here if they're able to pull it off. And then on the other side of that bracket, you have LSU at the 3 seed taking on the 2 seed UCLA. UCLA led by Lauren Betts, their terrific player over there. And then LSU, you know, everything begins and ends with Angel Reese, their star there, the double-double queen, Bayou Barbie herself. And then, of course, that squad is loaded. You got Anissa Morrow, who's an undersized player who's been playing well in the post. Haley Van Lith, who she's had her moments, but they're really going to need her to step up now that they're getting into the later parts of the tournament. Flajay Johnson has been absolutely sensational ever since the SEC tournament. She's been on a tear, and she continues to do so. And they're going to need her if they're to survive UCLA and face Iowa. They're going to need Flajay to keep Caitlin Clark at bay. Kind of looking ahead there. Provided both of those teams take care of business, it's not going to be a walk in the park for either one of them. And then, of course, you have Kim Mulkey, the coach there, and the firestorm that led up to her second round game, where she, in a press conference, made the statement about a Washington Post article that's supposed to come out soon. She's calling it a hit piece on her. And the reporter for that article is Kent Babb. And he supposedly did a similar story on the football coach for LSU, Brian Kelly, which Kim Mulkey noted in the press conference. She came out hot and heavy, guys, saying she's lining up defamation lawyers to hold the Washington Post accountable if they do this sort of hit piece on her. So we'll see what happens. I reserve the right to not say much because I haven't seen the article, but it doesn't sound good. It just doesn't sound good. So we'll see what's in that article in the days to come. So you have that kind of hanging over LSU, but we'll see how that situation plays out throughout the rest of this tournament. And then on the Portland region, that's your next region there, you have USC as the top team over there, of course, led by their freshman, Juju Watkins, who's looking sensational in these tournaments here. She doesn't look like a wide-eyed freshman at all. She's locked in. She's loaded. She's ready. And they're in the Final Four for the first time since 1994, I'm told. And that's when they had a player named Lisa Leslie. And the coach over there was Cheryl Miller. So you're talking about way back when, guys. 30 years to be exact. And then they'll be facing off against number 5 Baylor, who took care of business beating Va Tech. And also in the first round, they were able to beat Vanderbilt. So Baylor, who has 2 sensational guards in their backcourt. So we'll see what happens. But Juju has been getting help from players like Mackenzie Forbes. So as long as she's getting the help, that team's going to be dangerous, guys. And then on the other side of that bracket, UConn, Paige Beckers, I tell you what, guys, and me and my boy was kind of going back and forth about this. Paige Beckers is balling right now. And so much so that her coach pretty much stated so in his post-game press conference, saying that she is the best player in the game right now. The way she's playing, her efficiency, which she has been very efficient, guys. And she has been scoring the ball, rebounding, playing defense. This is the Paige Beckers that we saw a couple of years ago before the injuries kind of beset her. But now she looks like she's in a groove, guys. And they'll be facing off against Duke, led by their coach, Kara Lawson, personal favorite of mine. And that team is locked and loaded over there as well. They were able to knock off the 2-seed Ohio State. So this is not going to be a walk in the park for Gino Auriemma and that squad over there. This is one that I'll be very interested to see how this one shakes out. And then your final region, Texas, number 1. Texas quietly has had a fine tournament. They took care of business, beating Drexel. Then in the next round, beating Alabama. Texas, led by their freshman, Madison Booker, who's, once again, these freshman guys, they're not playing like freshmen. They're playing like seasoned vets. Even over there with South Carolina, you got Malaysia for Wally, and she's taking care of business over there. So these freshmen are really playing above their skis, and good for them. Good for them. It's great for the game, and it just gives you a look into the next 3 years now, because we're almost done with the season here. So 3 more seasons you're going to get from these ladies, and I look so forward to it. So they will face off against Gonzaga. Gonzaga got there by beating UC Irvine, and then in a game that I watched, they were able to beat Utah because I wanted to sit down and watch Alyssa Peely. Whew, oh man, she is good. She just needed help, but she herself, she went off, guys. She's going to be a major problem on the next level when she goes to the W, guys. That's how good she is. But Gonzaga was able to take care of business, and now they get the 1-seed in Texas. Then on the other side of that bracket, you got the 2 and the 3 going up against each other. Stanford, who was able to beat Norfolk State, and then in a overtime game against Iowa State, and Audie Crooks. Guys, we've been talking about the other freshmen, even Michaela Williams for LSU, but we didn't really talk about Audie Crooks. Guys, she had a sensational first round game, dropping 40 points and just absolutely dominating. On 90% shooting, by the way. But I tell you what, she's a girl who, I say, once she trains in the off season and so forth, and especially with the crop of other freshmen that's come in with her, Iowa State is going to be a major problem in the women's game. Hey, listen, Caitlin Clark, she's heading to the W, so look like you might have a new sheriff in town in the state of Iowa, and it could be these Iowa State Cyclones guys. So they went toe-to-toe with Stanford, and they end up losing in overtime. Stanford, of course, led by Cameron Brink and Kiki, who had a sensational game, actually, against Iowa State. She was sensational, guys. They'll face off against North Carolina State, a team that beat Chattanooga, and then they knocked off Tennessee to get to the Sweet 16. Guys, men and women alive for their respective schools. You have Duke, UConn, Gonzaga, and there was a fourth team. Oh, North Carolina State, I'm sorry. So those are your four teams that still have men's and women's teams alive in these tournaments. So kudos to those schools. But guys, we have some exciting basketball ahead as far as the college game. And I so look forward to checking that out and giving that a watch. So on that note, guys, that is my report on the college basketball. Let's talk pros, guys. And as always, we'll do our players of the week. I have them for both week 20 and week 21. For week 20, guys, Jalen Green for the Houston Rockets, one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now. And Jalen, he has been on a tear since it's been announced that he's got a baby on the way. He has been playing out of his mind since then, guys. His team went 3-0 for the week. They beat the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. They beat Washington at home and Cleveland at home. He averaged 26.3 points per game, 8.7 rebounds, and 3.7 assists. Shooting it just over 49% from the field, nearly 46% from three, and then of his 13 free throws for the week, he sunk 10. So pretty good stuff from Jalen Green, a team that I kind of thought you could have buried them for dead after Operon Sengun went down with that injury. But Jalen Green has really carried this ball club. And like I said, they're one of the hotter teams in the NBA right now. And they're actually on the outside looking in and actually not that far off from being in the play-in. That's how well they're playing, guys. We'll see if this team can make a push, and they will have to leapfrog Golden State to do it. Is it possible? Perhaps. But we'll see what happens. And then for the East, my guy, Jalen Brunson, who had a fantastic week, guys. The team went 3-0, beating Philadelphia, and then going on their West road trip. They beat Portland and then came back Saturday night and beat the Sacramento Kings in what was a really competitive game, guys. But Jalen Brunson, averaging 35.7 points per game, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals. And oh, by the way, on those road wins, he would score 45, and then against Sacramento, 42, being the fourth Knick to score over 40 points on back-to-back games. He joins Patrick Ewing, Bernard King, Carmelo Anthony. Now, that's the kind of company he's keeping, guys. And then for the week, he shot 54.3% from the field, 39.3 from three-point range. And then of his 24 free throws, he sunk 20, guys. So Jalen Brunson continuing to carry these Knicks. They're trying to get to the third seed. Half game from Cleveland as of this recording. And they're not too far off from Milwaukee either for the two seed. So everything is bunched together, guys. You even have the Orlando Magic behind them. kind of nipping at their heels. So these last few games, guys, it's put up or shut up, guys. But Jalen Brunson, player of the week for the East in week 20. Week 21, let's start with Anthony Davis, who has been an absolute terror lately. His team went 3-0 for the week. They beat Atlanta, Philadelphia, and then Indiana in a game that was a thriller, 150 to 145. A lot of points dropped in that one. Anthony Davis for the week, 27.C average, 16.7 rebounds, 4.3 assists, and 2 blocks. Shooting it from the field, a blistering 68.6%, guys. From the free throw line, he only went 11 times for the week, and he made 8 of them. Anthony Davis coming out big for the LA Lakers, and they need every single bit of it right now. And then for the East, Derek White of the Boston Celtics, who had a pretty good week. His team went 4-0. He averaged 20.3 points per game, nearly 9 assists, and 6.5 rebounds. And he actually recorded a triple-double for the week that he did against the Detroit Pistons. He shot at only 41.5% from the field, over 34% from three. And then he only missed 2 free throws out of 15. But Derek White, the ultimate team player, guys. Right now, he is about third or fourth in the pecking order over there. But the guy is getting it done, man. So Derek White for the Boston Celtics, the league leading Boston Celtics, getting the job done. All right, guys. So you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to cut it off right here. All right, so that is it for this episode. I'm going to continue the rest, so I'll give you a part 2 because we still have injury news, a lot of it. Also, guys, I have, of course, fines and suspensions, milestones being reached, extensions being given, and a lot more. So I'll talk about that on the other side. All right, guys. As always, all things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. Leave reviews. Support this podcast as well. There's many ways to do that. You'll hear it in the call to action after I speak. And YouTube, I'm there. Like the video. Comment on the video. All the podcast platforms. Apple, of course, leave reviews there as well and all that good stuff. All right, guys, so that is it, and we will talk soon. Take care. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for following and supporting the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. You can find us at allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. Also, you can email us. That's sportsdudegd@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. Like or comment on our videos there. You can follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can follow me on all podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple, where you can leave a review. Support us, guys, at my donate page on my website. There I have a Buy Me a Coffee button, PayPal button, and a Spotify button. Also, you can cash at me, $GD, that sports dude. Thanks again for listening, and take care.